Hi, I'm Kaylin Amadio, and this is the Boomers Ultimate Guide Podcast, the place where boomers like me and like you can come together to learn, share, and grow a thriving business and vibrant life. Cue music.
Boomers Ultimate Guide Podcast, episode 29, self-help for people who hate marketing but have to do it anyway.
Hi, I'm Kaylin Amadio, your Boomer host and creator of the Boomer's Ultimate Guide podcast, and I want to introduce you to today's special guest, Boomer Judith Ballion. She spent 20 years in corporate sales and marketing before starting her own business called Excoveries in 2007. She has worked and consulted for businesses of all types and sizes, from Fortune 500 companies to small startups, private consultants, and individual practitioners. Today, she helps small businesses and solo entrepreneurs, and I like to call them boomerpreneurs. I'm sure boomerpreneurs too. I should trademark that. Gain their confidence, strategies, and tools they need to successfully market themselves. Now, Judith holds a master's degree in psychology counseling from Hofstra University. In addition to her marketing work, she facilitates classes, workshops, and groups to help people grow personally and professionally. She is also the author of the recently published book, and I love this title, listen to this, Your Mind on Marketing, Self-Help for People Who Hate Marketing But Have to Do It Anyway. And of course, it's available on Amazon. So, Judith, welcome to Boomer's Ultimate Guide Podcast.
Good morning, Kaylin. I'm so glad to be here on a snowy morning out there.
I know, I'm so tired of it. But I'm going to try. I'm a big believer that it's a waste of time to worry much about things that you can't control, and weather is one of those things. But it's been such a snowy winter. I have finally reached my limit that I'm done. I am done with snow. I want it to be over. I'm starting to complain. I'm breaking my own rules. I can't help it. So, first of all, welcome. Thank you for taking time to come to the Boomer's Ultimate Guide podcast.
Thank you.
It's nice to see you again. Actually, see you this time. Judith has been on my other podcast, my Act Local Marketing for Small Business, which is about a 2.5-year-old podcast, and her episode will be premiering there soon. And she gives lots of great marketing advice to the people there. And that podcast is always about business and growing business. But, you know, here at Boomer's Ultimate Guide, it's about more than just growing your business. We're looking about building, you know, vibrant lives as well as prosperous businesses. But Judith, I love the title of her book. I got to scroll up so I can read it for people again. You've got to get this book, Your Mind on Marketing, Self-Help for People Who Hate Marketing But Have to Do It Anyway. And I know many of you boomers feel that way about marketing. You boomerpreneurs, you find yourself business owners for the first time, and suddenly you realize the owner wears all the hats, and there's all these things you have to do, and maybe marketing and sales was not one of those things you were ever in charge of before. So before we dive into that a little bit, Judith, tell people how you came to be doing what it is you're doing. Give me a little more bio about you.
Well, I think that even if people have had a career in sales and marketing, sometimes when they get out on their own, they'll find it's very, very different. And that's actually what happened to me. I left the corporate world in 2006. My last job was in sales and marketing, primarily in educational technology sales and marketing, and started my own business. And I thought, well, I've done this for 20 years. This should be a snap. Well, it was real different than standing in a booth with a name tag of a company or handing out business cards that said you had this or that title. And I had to kind of learn the ropes all over again from the standpoint of an entrepreneur. So I started working with primarily women, but a lot of men too, solo entrepreneurs, boomerpreneurs, most of them, and learned that a lot of them, even some of them that came from marketing, had those same issues. So first thing I would tell people is don't beat yourself up if it's hard for you. It's hard for everybody, even us experienced marketers.
Well, that's very good advice. And you're going to have some other tips for us, I'm sure. You find working with boomers different in any way?
Well, since most of my clients have been boomers, I don't work with a lot of millennials, although a few. I would say that boomers, for the most part, are very, very hardworking. They don't expect something for nothing. There's no sense of entitlement. They're really willing to work hard. And they're also generally following a dream. They have a mission of wanting to make the world a better place in some way, to help people, to be of service. So those are the two things that I notice, as well as their experience, of course. A lot of people come with a lot of divergent experience. Right. And it's really interesting to me how people have done a lot of different things throughout their careers.
Guilty.
Right, but they all kind of knit together into the fabric of what you're creating today. I just love that.
That is a fascinating thing. We could probably talk about that for a very long time. Because it's true. All of these things that you've done throughout your life that shaped you, you can often find a common thread that runs through them. And while from the outside looking in, people might say, well, you did that and you did that, and they're nothing alike and they have nothing to do with one another. That's not true. There's normally a thread that runs through, and helping someone find that thread and then use it to weave the tapestry that can be their new business, you know, is something a lot of people need help with, because there's a lot more to it than they might imagine. So let's see if we can give people some tips. What are your top three tips? And I know sometimes it's hard to narrow it down to just three, right? But what are your top three tips that you would give boomerpreneurs who now find themselves in charge of their marketing in this new world that they find themselves in?
Well, I would say, first of all, do something that you really, really love, because it's going to be your life. The second thing I would say is choose something that there's a market for. There's a book that's the title of it's Do What You Love and the Money Will Come. I would add yes, but. Yeah. You definitely need to know that there is a market for what you're doing. And the third thing that I would say is make the investment in yourself. You know, you've probably been investing all these years maybe in a 401k or for retirement. Well, now you're going to be investing in you. And you are your own best investment right now. So spend the time, spend the money that it needs to really get your business off to a good footing and to keep going.
Those are really good points. The second one, I have to agree with you wholeheartedly. There's a lot of feel-good messaging out there for new business owners that says, you know, it's sort of that whole the secret manifestation thing. And not that doesn't work. I understand that works. I understand the wonkiness of the brain and how we can talk ourselves into just about anything. But you're absolutely right that you have to make sure that there are other people who want to buy whatever it is you think is a great idea. Coming up with a great idea and a product or a service and building a business around it, when there's no one else really interested in it or not enough people interested in it that you can make a living doing it, is a big mistake. And with just a few tweaks, you can still do what you love, probably in the market that you love, but with a few tweaks, you can make it profitable. And there's nothing wrong with making money. I think boomers understand that. Sometimes there's a tendency to say money's evil. I should be, you know, I'm helping the world. Why do I need to make money? Well, you know, the reality is, you need money to survive, to send your kids to college, to be able to retire with. There's nothing wrong with making money while you're helping people. So that tip number two was really, really important. And there was something I was going to say about tip number three, but I already can't remember it. That's another boomer problem.
Yeah.
It is already my short-term memory has left me. What was your tip number three again?
My tip number three was your best investment is you, investing in yourself.
That is absolutely true. Absolutely true. Think about how much you can cut your learning curve when you go invest in yourself for a change, right? One of the biggest mistakes I see boomerpreneurs make, and especially women, you work with a lot of women. I see women do this all the time. We say, I need to learn how to do all of it. I need to do it myself. And there's a great deal of pride. I suffer from this. There's a great deal of pride in, but I can do it all myself. Look how wonderful I am. Well, that doesn't help me grow a business. That keeps me small because I'm limited by time. So cutting the learning curve, right? Hiring people, learning stuff rather than teaching it to yourself and taking pride in that, you're going to get further faster.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's really hard for people, especially I see it a lot in people writing their own copy. And I work with a lot of people in the holistic health field, and they have a tendency to beat themselves up because they're not good at marketing. It's like you should have been born with this skill somehow. And it's even hard sometimes for me to write about myself. So getting that extra help really can make the difference and help give you the confidence that you need to move forward.
Sure, sure. You'll get more success faster, and that feels good.
Yeah.
So why not do that? So tell me, what is one of the biggest challenges you see boomers facing as they're trying to build their business?
A negative attitude about sales.
Oh, I suffer a little bit from that too.
Yeah, when I do my presentations, I have people close their eyes and I say, okay, I'm going to say a word. I want you to, what visual image do you get? And I say the word salesperson. And you can imagine what people get. They get the sleazy guy in the plaid coat and the selling used cars, right? Yeah. I mean, if you can't get over that attitude, you're done before you start. Because we're all in sales. And really, we're educators, we're consultants. So that's one big thing. That's kind of start for me with a lot of my clients.
Yeah. I wonder why it is we feel that way, too. Because that's really... Not that all stereotypes are based a little bit in fact. I mean, they exist because there have been people that meet those stereotypes. But we all know that stereotypes are exactly that. They're generalizing. And why so many people feel that way, because I do the exact same thing. When someone talks to me about a salesman, that's the image that comes up for me. And I don't know why that happens.
Well, first of all, a lot of it's the media. Media has certainly done that. But also, we weren't raised to talk about ourselves, especially boomer women.
Right.
We weren't taught to shine. We were kind of taught to hold back, most of us. Rare if you weren't, didn't have that experience. So I think that's one thing that really holds people back. They don't like putting themselves out there. And I urge them to change that terminology and say, I'm making myself available rather than putting myself out there. Because who wants to put yourself out there? That sounds like
That's scary.
Yeah, you're going to stand in the middle of the street and take your clothes off, right? No.
Yeah. And that's all very interesting. Being humble, I guess, is, I don't know if it's an attribute, a good attribute or not. I guess it depends on what it is you're doing. But there's certainly nothing wrong with being recognized for the greatness within you. You can still be humble and be recognized for the greatness within you.
Well, I put it in a service context. You have something valuable to offer.
Right.
Every one of our listeners has something great to offer. And you're really doing that person a service by letting them know about you and what you do. So if you can kind of shift that a little bit, I think that'll help.
Right.
Humble. We're all humble, but when you're of service, you can talk about yourself a little bit more easily, I think.
Yeah. I think I heard someone, and I wish I could remember who it was, talk about this feeling, putting yourself out there, being a little afraid of sales, or saying that you have this expertise, you have this ability to help someone with something.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not picking up the phone and offering to do that, what a disservice you're doing for the world. Because you could be spending time making it a better place, but you're not, because you're afraid to put yourself out there.
Exactly. And, what is it? It's rejection, right?
Yeah.
It's a fear of rejection. So Zig Ziglar says, and I'm sure most of your listeners have heard of Zig Ziglar, he says, the only thing no means is that my product or service isn't a match for this particular person at this particular time. That's all no means.
Yeah.
And you're probably never going, you may never know the reason why that person chooses not to use your product or service. But chances are it's not about you, it's about them.
Right.
So if you can really remember that, then I think that'll take away the fear of rejection.
Yeah, not don't take it personally. I mean, think about it. Think how big our egos must be that we're taking all this stuff personally, as if it really had anything to do with us.
Right, making ourselves the center of everything and that
right.
person's life.
Right? I mean, think about it in your own head. How often are you making decisions about any number of things that are going on based on the person that you're talking to? You're making decisions based on what you've got going on in your own head and what matters to you at the moment. It really has nothing to do with anyone else. We're all me, me, me.
Exactly. Exactly.
It has nothing to do with you, you, you. I'm sorry, but it doesn't.
Right.
It's all about
right.
me. As well, it should be. I tell you, Judith, all about me. So let's help some more boomers. What would you tell them to do right now, today, when they get off the treadmill? I'm always hoping that people are on the treadmill. When they get off the treadmill, how can they start making changes in this attitude so that, and I'll tell people the title of your book again, Your Mind on Marketing, Self-Help for People Who Hate Marketing but Have to Do It Anyway. You know, if you're in that mindset, I hate marketing, but I know I'm going to have to do it if I'm going to succeed. What can I be doing today? How can I start making changes now?
Well, I think really start examining those old feelings and where they came from in your life and challenging those feelings and beliefs and saying, you know, is this real right now? So that would be one thing that I would have them do. From a more practical standpoint, I would have them really analyze how they're different. Because boomers, it's a very crowded marketplace. I don't care what you're doing, especially here in Southern California. It seems like there are always 300 people that are doing what you're doing in your same geographic
same
area.
Same thing here in New York.
Yeah, yeah. And a lot of people spilling out into the world of entrepreneurs, especially boomers that are, you know, ending jobs.
Right.
So figure out how are you different and how does that difference make a difference in the way you portray what you have to offer. And that brings us to target market. Who are you targeting with your products and services? And you spoke about it before, Kaylin, about being sure that you have something that people are willing to buy. They want it. Hopefully they need it. If you can find something they need more than what they want.
Right.
One jump ahead right there. But find people that have the ability to recognize that and that have the ability to pay for it.
That's a key thing.
It is very much a key. And then defining that target market narrowly. I have a lot of people that will say to me when I ask them, well, who are you targeting? Oh, well, everybody can use my service. Well, everybody probably can, and you're not going to turn anybody away, but that you can't market to everybody unless you're selling ballpoint pens. So you really need to target that market, figure out where they are, what they're doing, and market to them. The third thing that I would say, check out your marketing copy. And you touched on this before. Is it all about you or all about them? Look at the first couple of sentences on your website. Are you grabbing your potential client and customer by hitting their pain points? Figuring out where they are, you need to do that first before you talk about what you have to offer. People want to relate to who they buy from.
Mm-hmm.
So those are three tips that I could give that people could go back into their marketing and analyze it.
Right, and be doing right now. And that thing about the marketing copy is really important. If you look at the emails that you've written, maybe you have an autoresponder, or you've got copy on a website, or you've got brochures. If you find that you're saying I a lot, step back, you know,
right.
reel it back a little bit,
right.
and read
right.
it and say, is this all written about me, or is it really about the person that I want reading this copy? Because if I were reading this copy, I had a client once who owned a automobile dealership. You know, they do a lot of television advertising, right?
Mm-hmm.
You see local car dealers. So I asked him one day, I said, what do you think your commercials are actually about? And he said, well, they're about the car, of course. And I said, I want you to try this. Turn the sound off of the TV when your commercial comes on, and then tell me what your commercials are about. And it was him on the screen talking most of the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, I said, unless your commercials are about me and what I want, I'm not going to listen to you.
Exactly.
Because the whole world has to be about me if you want me to spend my money with you.
Absolutely.
And it's true of all of your marketing.
Yeah,
so maybe absolutely. To get some subjective, feedback, some constructive criticism, if you will, would be very helpful. Which brings me to my next question. How can people get a hold of you? Because this is something you can help them with.
Oh, absolutely. Well, my website is discoveries.com. That's a combination of explore and discoveries, discoveries.com. Or they can call me here in San Diego at 760-436-8848.
Perfect.
Love to hear from your listeners.
And I will include these, of course, in the show notes. Like I said, I'm hoping you're on the treadmill. But when you get off, come check out. You can search marketing, or you can search Judith, or you can search Excoveries. If you can spell it, I'm going to spell it for you right now. But you can find this episode, and you can find links and Judith's phone number. Excoveries is excoveries.com. But like I said, you'll be able to find the link in the show notes of this particular podcast episode. And before we leave everyone today, Judith, you've been leaving a lot of golden nuggets behind. Would you like to share an inspirational quote or story, something to leave us with before we go about the rest of our day?
You know, it's really interesting. When I was writing my book, I was searching for quotes. And while she's not a boomer, I found one from Sarah Blakely, the founder of Spanx.
Right.
And she says, I'll have to put my glasses on to read it. My dad encouraged us to fail. Growing up, he would ask us what we failed at that week. If we didn't have something, he'd be disappointed. It changed my mindset at an early age. Is failure is not the outcome. Failure is not trying. Don't be afraid to fail.
Oh my God.
And I just love that, because I think, you know, to succeed, we have to take risks. So that just says it all for me.
Wow. I'm just envisioning if we'd been sitting around the dinner table as a kid, if my parents had asked me, you know, if my father had asked me that question every week.
Oh,
what a different mindset I might have about certain things.
Absolutely. And maybe we've got some parents out there that can try that one on for size.
You literally blew me away with that, because that's not the way, you know, we approach our children.
Absolutely.
It's always about, you know, what was your success? What's your next success going to be? Wow.
Yeah.
You've got me thinking now. I'm going to be thinking about that all weekend. Judith Ballion, thank you so much for taking time to come to Boomer's Ultimate Guide podcast.
Oh, thank you, Kaylin. I really appreciate it and enjoyed it.
Well, I appreciate your time and all of this wisdom that you are giving to us freely. And, you know, those of you out there listening and or watching, you know, at boomersultimateguidepodcast.com, you can catch a new episode every Tuesday afternoon at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, where people like Judith Ballion will help you not only build a thriving business, which is what she does for a living, what I do for a living, but we also want you to live more vibrant lives. And that's why we are sharing our time and our expertise with you, because that's what we really want for you. So until next time, I would very much like you all to take care. Boom, baby. That's it for now. See you next time on Boomer's Ultimate Guide Podcast.